Bert Odelson, he certainly made a lot of appearances on this show, usually when we're talking this year about what's happening in Dalton. But your history with elections goes way back. How long have you specialized in that form of law, Bert?
50 plus years, 52 years.
And, of course, the presidential election of 2000 between George W. Bush and Al Gore came down
yes.
to less than 600 votes, and everybody went to Florida for the recount, and you were among those involved in that?
Well, I was deeply involved. I was representing Governor Bush, soon to be President Bush at the time, and I was doing the recount in West Palm Beach County and Broward County and filed briefs there in regards to my case that I had up here, which developed the word Chad back in the 1990s. Heavily involved in the Florida recount.
Okay, Lisa, here's my favorite thing about Bert. So, Bert, you worked on behalf... He knows exactly where I'm going. You worked on behalf of Governor Bush, correct?
Yes, I did.
Who got more votes that year in Florida, Al Gore or George Bush?
Why do you have to ask me this every time you talk to me, Steve?
Because I just get... Go ahead.
In reality, Al Gore did, as far as people punching his number. In reality, he did. And if Gore had had the right lawyers down there, he'd probably have been president of the United States. But they didn't.
I just think that's a great revelation, and I appreciate the fact that you are so open about it.
Well, I can't be now. It's years ago. It's a long time ago, so I can't be now. Yes.
And once that Bush won Florida, then he won the Electoral College 271 to 266, but Gore had 500,000 more votes in the popular vote. We saw that in 2016 where Hillary won the popular vote, Donald Trump wins the Electoral College. What do you think is going to happen this year?
Well, it's the question on everybody's mind, and I would be a fool to tell you that one or the other is going to win, because it's not going to be determined until we see turnout tomorrow. It depends on who turns out in the swing states. It's that close. It's really, really close. However, I'll say this. Other states may be in play here that haven't been talked about very much, including Iowa. So this may be a very, very, very interesting election, one where the horse in the number ninth spot finishes first.
Okay. So if you were an attorney for Kamala Harris or for Donald Trump, it's the day before the election. What are you doing? What are you preparing for?
I'm preparing in the swing states to hopefully have people on the ground in the counting stations so that they can watch the ballots being counted. And to see how many are outstanding, and what the rules are and the laws are in each of the states, as far as do you count them after Election Day, and if so, do you count them for 2 days, 3 days? It varies state to state. So you really got to have a handle on what each state does, because that's what it's going to come down to.
I have a question for you that I don't really know how to ask it, so I'm going to need your help in understanding it. But no, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Can a good attorney fabricate a good case?
Fabricate's the wrong word, but a good attorney can take a losing case and make it into a winning case in any particular area. Yeah. But election law is one, and I'll give you a prime example, Steve. I mean, in the last a state's attorney race in the primary where my client Eileen O'Neill Burke won by 1,500 votes out of hundreds of thousands, I spent 10 days in the basement counting votes with my team, and it easily could have gone another way if we didn't have troops on the ground.
No, I really did mean fabricate. I mean to take a situation where there really wasn't a problem and write a lawsuit or a challenge in such a way that it becomes a winner.
You'd have to have troops on the ground to see something and put some types of facts into the case. That was the problem all of Trump's 60 lawsuits last time. There was no evidence. you got to have a little evidence. You can't just make it up, which is what he did, especially in election law. And let me say this, and you know, I've been on the show many times. This will be a safe election. This will be a secure election, and whoever wins will be the winner. No one will steal anything, just like it was 4 years ago. We have the best system in the world.
Why is it our system isn't unified across the nation when it comes to when we count the votes? When it's a federal election, a presidential election, why are we not doing it the same?
Because each state, according to the Constitution, each state regulates its own system of voting, even when it comes down to a federal offices. Because remember, on our ballot, we have more than the President of the United States on the ballot. We have what we call down ballot offices. So each state can regulate how they count the ballots. And that was the problem back in Florida. There were no rules in place in Florida on how to count those chads and how to count dimples and things like that. But there are rules in each state. Some states take 2 days to count, because some states take only election night to count, because they don't count ballots after election night. So each state is allowed to regulate its own system of voting.
So when you said that each presidential team probably has lawyers on the ground right now watching and will be watching how votes are counted and what's happening. I mean, both camps are represented in most all these precincts. When there is still hitting us up for money today, Bert, to the rate about 30 texts an hour, is that to hit you up for money to pay for that? Because obviously too late to buy advertising,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's what it's for. It's for the post-election. Yeah, it's for recounts, for lawsuits,
lawyers,
for discovery, we call it, lawyers, those damn lawyers, yes.
How much did it cost? Lisa, how much did it cost the Bush campaign in 2000 in legal fees?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you, when Rahm Emanuel, when I threw him off the ballot back for a minute in when he first ran, it cost his team over $700,000 from the Electoral Board to the Circuit Court to the Appellate Court to the Supreme Court. It's going to cost millions of dollars for the presidential recounts if they have them.
And how long, what's your general feeling based on your over 50 years of experience in election law, how long before we find out the winner of the presidential election?
You could very well find out tomorrow night, depending on the volume of votes for one or the other candidates in the swing state. If it's close, then you're not going to find out for 2 or 3 days, because of most of these states that are in play only count them for up to 3 days. So if it's not close, if it's more than 2 percentage points, let's say, in a state, it doesn't really matter what else is left to come in. You're gonna know in a couple of days. I got a gut. You're gonna know tomorrow night.
That Iowa thing is interesting, isn't it?
I said that Iowa
poll is pretty interesting.
It's very interesting. That's what I was referring to.
I thought
very interesting. You know, the whole election comes down to how many people under 30 or under 35, and how many women vote. That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, that's it.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Bert.
Okay, very good.
Hey,
thanks, Lisa. Bye, Steve.
Bert, wait a second. Bert, have you voted yet, or are you going tomorrow?
I never vote until Election Day, so I have a tradition. I go tomorrow. I vote tomorrow.
All right. Thanks
All
for
right.
doing your duty.
Thanks, guys.
All right, be good.
It's WGN-TV's political analyst, Paul Liznick. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
I'm going on vacation, Lisa. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're going to need to after next week, I would imagine. We have asked everybody from Leland Vittert at News Nation to Bert Odelson, a 50-year election attorney, to Dr. Hermeen Hartman. When do you think we'll know who is the next president of the United States?
Well, I don't know what any of them said. I don't think we're going to be waiting until Friday, Saturday, like we did in 2020, where the results came in on a Saturday. I think this may be 24 to 48 hours. I have a feeling that by end of Wednesday or so, we're pretty much going to know. What we know is that as Pennsylvania goes, so goes the election most likely. Whoever gets Pennsylvania has an 85% chance of winning the election. And Pennsylvania has certain laws that don't allow them to count mail-in ballots until the morning after, that kind of thing. But based on what their Secretary of State and others have said, they anticipate having lots of numbers, most of these results calculated on Tuesday night, and the balance on Wednesday. To me, that will tell us what's going on.
How does weather impact people's not ability to get out and vote? Because for God's sakes, you can get out and vote in the rain or the snow or whatever, but it does impact how many people show up, right?
Well, I don't think there's any question. And, you know, for folks who say, oh, the undecideds are going to determine this election, there are no undecideds anymore, Lisa. I mean, really, you know, there's a few, but there's basically not. This is a turnout game. So what becomes important tomorrow, and I know there's some weather being called for states like North Carolina and some others. So obviously we hope those whatever storms are called for will pass. But the bottom line is sure. But that's why I think you're seeing record numbers at polling sites in these early voting periods. You know, in 2020, Donald Trump made it clear he didn't really want Republicans to vote ahead of time, and they listened to him, and they showed up on Election Day. This time, he's not playing that game. He basically is encouraging everybody to vote early, get this done. He prefers it in person than to mail it in, but he does want people to vote in early. We're seeing record numbers of early voting. That will ease the tension for an Election Day count. Or Election Day vote, but nevertheless, you're right. In places where there's election, I just passed a polling place on my way home. The line was way around the block.
Yeah.
And over the weekend, I know it was at least 3.5 hours. So, yeah, I think people are smart to say, I want to get this out of the way and be done with it.
What do you make, Paul, of this Iowa poll? I mean, it's the Des Moines Register. It's usually pretty reliable numbers, and it was a blockbuster over the weekend.
So the poll is conducted by a woman named Ann Selzer, and she is like the pollster's pollster. So what you're talking about, in case any listeners don't know, is that she has Harris ahead by 3 points. Now, it's within the margin of error, so technically it's a tie, but that's not where Iowa should be. Iowa should have Trump up by several points, 7 points, 10 points, something like that. Iowa's a very red state. There's also some indications in her polling that there's a district or two that are looking fairly blue within Iowa. So can we rely on her results exactly? No, not necessarily, but might they be an indicator that there's something in the wind, that there's something going on here? Yes. And if we get results, so here's the point. Do I think Kamala Harris is going to win Iowa tomorrow? No. But if she loses it by just a couple of points, there's going to be a message there that there's something in the wind. If she loses it big time, Ann Selzer was wrong. But you know what? Ann Selzer is almost never wrong.
Wow. A few questions came in because, you know, you're the guy that we go to for these. Someone said, how do all these politicians and political groups get our cell phone numbers? They're still hooding me up to about 30 an hour on my text and on my personal phone. And Bert Odelson said at this point, that money goes for legal bills and other bills, obviously not advertising. But how is it they get our numbers and when does it stop?
Well, it ought to maybe stop tomorrow, right? On Election Day,
open.
Things could get quiet depending on what happens, we would think. But yes, I get them and we all get them. I myself kind of wonder, where'd you get the number? So look, they buy lists. The campaigns can buy lists. So if people are registered with the Democratic Party or Republican Party, the odds are they have given their numbers out. They just don't realize maybe that they have. That's one way of getting them. The other thing is that a lot of times, and especially these days, you'll go online and they'll say something like, you know, give us your phone number and we'll send you a coupon for 20% off. And maybe you're wanting to buy brownies or something. But nevertheless, if you're part of some data bank that puts that number on a list, I just got a text actually about an hour ago from a theater that kind of said, hey, 20% off on tickets. And I'm like, I never gave you my, where did this come from?
Yeah.
So we've all signed up somewhere, somehow. Those lists are always for sale, and that's how they're getting it.
Some of us signed up to win $1 million a day from Elon Musk, right?
And the court just stepped in on that. Maybe
right.
That's why you're bringing that up.
Well,
moments ago.
Well, the prosecutor was saying, you know, that this was all about an information grab, about getting data and the voter's ID and things like that.
Well, that's true, because you had to be registered to get them, so there was a little game to it. It seemed to me that these would not be appropriate shenanigans to go on right here at election time, but a judge in Pennsylvania actually just ruled, I mean, literally within the last 30 minutes, just ruled that Musk may continue
right.
to have his million-dollar giveaways. That point, of course, being there's only one day left, right? Now, the judge didn't rule substantively. The judge didn't say, yes, this is perfectly okay, anybody can do this. The judge basically determined, no, this still may be problematic, but he wasn't willing to step in to stop the process. Maybe part of it was because there's only one left.
Someone asked, why does my vote or how does my vote count when we have the Electoral College?
Well, so when you vote for Trump or for Harris, you're not really voting for Trump or for Harris. You're voting for the delegates who have been pledged to them, who have been selected, which you didn't have anything to do with. So oftentimes they're politicos, they're various people. They're not hidden names, but essentially, let's just play Illinois out. Assuming Harris wins Illinois, that's probably what's going to happen in Illinois. This is a blue state. So if Harris wins Illinois, it's not that anybody's votes will be cast by her. It's that the electors in the state, and there's one elector for every district. We have, I think, 18 congressional districts, so that's 18 electors, and then you get one for each senator. So that's why you see these different numbers that California has in the 50s and Pennsylvania has 19, because these electoral votes represent one vote for every member of Congress and then two for each, well, or a total of two, for the senators from each state. So what will happen is after the election, it's those people who will all get together and do the voting. Theoretically, they ought to vote in the direction that the state voted. So if, to play my example out, if Harris wins Illinois, because I'm not being partisan with that, I'm saying that's certainly what polls show. We can go to, pick another state, in West Dakota, and then Trump will win that. But the bottom line is that then those electors technically don't have to vote for the candidate who won, but generally they will. Almost always they will.
Yeah. You'll have coverage all day tomorrow. We'll have coverage all day tomorrow, and you'll check back in with us on Wednesday?
Absolutely. Already got that lined up, and we'll start with our live coverage tomorrow night at 7 is when we go on the air with it, and it's going to be a fascinating night. There's a part of me that just says we're going to get some answers quicker than people think, but I don't want to go out on a limb and say that because who knows?
Well, I'll tell you, other people have. Leland Vittert believes we'll know by Wednesday night for certain by 10 a.m. Wednesday morning. He thinks we'll know late tomorrow night or certainly by 10 a.m. Wednesday morning. So we'll see.
Well, I think he might be cutting it a little bit closer, but he's not totally far off on that. I don't think, as I did say, we're not waiting until Saturday for this result.
That's good. We don't have the patience. I don't think any of the American public has the patience anymore, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
We need sleep, Lisa. We need sleep, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.